Mizmach of Dalid is the Mizmah that we recite. We mentioned this. We recite on the night of Rosh Hashanah and the night of Yom Kippur with a lot of kavana, and it sells for quite a nice amount of money, right? And, or it's considered to be a very significant kibbut, to give the Mizmah to recite. I'll just tell you that where I daven for many years, I used to daven. Every year is different, but I used to daven in the Shiva Rabbein Chaim Berlin, and I don't know where it comes from, they have a different minhag, I don't know where, but they say this mizmor before Ma'ariv. In other words, before they begin Ma'ariv, Rosh Hashanah, it's also interesting who says it, the Mashkiach. For some reason, the Mashkiach now needs a refuah shleima. It's not well, Rabbi Shachter. Rabbi Matthew Shachter may have a refuah shleima. And when I was a kid, the one that was the Mashkiach was Rabbi Groner. Rabbi Groner, and I always noticed it's a big, very big deal. I don't know why. But before they begin, before they begin the melody, they lead into Baruch Hu, the Mashkiach would come up to the Amud and would recite, pasuk by pasuk, this Mizmor, L'David, and he would say it painfully slow. And when I mean painfully slow, I mean painfully slow.
Was it before this Mar?
No, it was like the Zman that when Ma'ariv was called for. Ma'ariv was called for, let's say, make-believe Ma'ariv was called for 8:30. That's the Zman. So in a regular shul at 8:30 on the dot, which leads into Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu, which leads into the melody of Baruch Hu. So there, I don't know why, and it seems like it's not the only place. It seems like there are many yeshivas that do this. So it seems, I don't know, maybe I'm saying wrong, is they would begin at 8:30, with the I daven in Chaim Berlin. I'm not saying I don't know where the minhagim come from. A lot of minhagim are like from Slobodka, they say from the out of Slobodka. But the David Mizmor LaHashem Horetz, painfully slow. Now in Yom Yisrael, when I was a kid in Yom Yisrael. Okay, so they start at 8:30, and then after Avinu Malkeinu, after they finish Avinu Malkeinu, then someone opens up the Arayim and they say L'David. No, they go slow, but not, you know, people are already tired, they're already hungry, they want to go home and eat. Yom Kippur, they're also tired, they want to go to sleep after long davening, Kol Nidre, the Gan Samaisa. So they don't do it so painfully slow. They say it, whatever, and then
painfully slow, but not painfully.
Okay, but
they
but
more of a cup of
but in Chai Berlin, it's paint mamish painful. So there are two things that I never understood. I still don't understand. Number one, only three things. Number one is why are they doing it before Ma'ariv? In a regular shul, they do it after Ma'ariv. Why are they doing it before Ma'ariv? Number two, why is the Mashkiach? Why is it the Chazok of the Mashkiach to say this Mizmor? The Mashkiach was not about Tefillah. He was not about tefillah. He was, he was a holy person. But he didn't, and the Mashkiach now is all. He's more. The Mashkiach now is more about tefillah, but that's not what he normally does. And then during the years when there was no Mashkiach, because after the Mashkiach passed away, there was a tekufa where there was no Mashkiach. After Rabbi Groner passed away, and Rabbi Shachter was not yet appointed as the Mashkiach, maybe even 2 years. And during that time, Rabbi Pinchas Khan, one of the Rashi Yeshivas, he filled the role of saying L'David. And I never understood why. Why do you give this role of saying L'David to one of the members of the faculty? Right? To people who are one of the Rashi Yeshivas, the Mashkiach. And number three, I never understood, why are you trying to torture me? And Rosh Hashanah also.
That's an easy one.
Why are you trying to do this to us? I told you painfully slow, I mean it literally, painfully slow. And these three things I never understood. Obviously, there's something very significant about this. And from the impression I get, it's not unique to where I happen to daven in Chaim Berlin. It appears that in many yeshivas, in many, you know, the yeshiva world has its own set of rules. There are certain things that, you know, you go to a shul, you do it like this. You go to yeshiva, you do it like this. There's certain, today I think that stereotype has broken down quite a bit. Okay, the stereotype has broken down quite a bit. I think many of the shuls have turned into semi-yeshivas, and more the other way around, many of the yeshivas have adapted the style of the shuls. Their shuls never set, a yeshiva would never sing. Yehoreg val yavar, for a yeshiva to sing a melody. Not for anything, it's nusach. Pure, unadulterated nusach. No melodies. The only melodies are the very traditional melodies that go back from who knows when. That's how it used to be. No more. Very few yeshivas. Maybe near yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Could be it's dry like mamish, like dead bones.
Tells
of
that.
Okay?
Tells
is a concert. Tells is a concert. Okay? Every yeshiva turned into that. I don't know. I have not been around. I can tell you, when I was a child, first time I davened Chaim when I was in 10th grade. And in a very choshev altila of Saul Reifman, there was kimat no melodies. I remember clearly, it was all nusach. And the melodies were these very traditional, old, haunting melodies. And this goes back a long time ago. Baruch Hashem, still around. And it was pure nusach. And it was beautiful. Davening also was very quick. It didn't take so long. They daven in yeshiva. The place was jam-packed. Mamash like sardines. Today they would never do it because of COVID and all. They would never do what they did then. Where they took out half the tables and they put everyone just chairs to suffocate you. They wouldn't do that today. Today they broke up the minyanim. Now it's, you know, you have regular chairs. Zerevach, two minyanim now. Everything, COVID destroyed the
chair. Room was always one of the latest minyanim.
What? Okay, but relatively speaking, it wasn't, I remember now, it wasn't so crazy. Then, Rabbi Saul Reifman passed away, he retired, and someone took his place. In the beginning, I remember, he basically just copied him word for word, the best that he could. And then, every year, he added a melody here, a melody there, and now, we have a concert. It's very nice. I'm not going to tell you it's not nice. It's really very beautiful. It really is. You need a lot of stamina, a lot of coffee before you come. It's a very, very long day, and there's pushback. You know, people can't sit so long, and it's beautiful, but it's unrecognizable. Thank you so much. Look at this Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni. Thank you very, very much. And it's really magnificent. And it's a lot of singing. And that's the way of the world. There's nothing unique. Everyone is like that today. And all of the shuls today have become, who are the shuls today? They're people, balabatim, who are products of the yeshivas. And they have adapted many of the minhagim of the yeshivas. This is a fact, that's the way it is. And I know in Lakewood, I know where someone died, and so they started a new meeting, and they were fighting, you know, everything's to fight. Gendav Nusach, Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfard, and this and this. So this shul already is not such a new shul, it's really probably about 15 years ago. So they still already had sense. They said the bottom line was the Rav gave a clap, and he said, Rabbi Yisai, we're living in Lakewood, we're part of Lakewood, and therefore, it is our duty to follow the basic template of the davening. Will be follow the yeshiva.
He's a
today they wouldn't do that.
Graduate of Lakewood.
What?
The Rav is a graduate of Lakewood.
Yeah.
That's not why.
That's not why. It was a certain sensitivity. Today it wouldn't happen. Today they couldn't care less. Today things already have got out of control. But this was still during the time when they said, even though we have nothing to do with Lake. Everyone over here already got it. There's a sensitivity. Are we going to have an Ashkenaz or Sfard? the yeshiva davens Ashkenaz, we're all products of the yeshiva. We live in this territory. We all went to Lakewood. We learned in BMG. Everyone there is working. It's not even one person that's learning. Every single person there is working. Everyone. All you will not work with people who rent basements. There are a handful of people that rent basements. They're still in the yeshiva. But almost every the Rav told me, every single person in the Kiva is working. We're all products of the yeshiva. We're going to daven Ashkenaz. We have, should we say Yoitzrais? Who wants to say Yoitzrais? Today, would someone say Yoitzrais? Never. Do they say Yoitzrais in the yeshiva? Yes. So, we're going to say Yoitzrais, whether you like it or not. And they accept it. They said, you're right. You're right. We're part of this community. We come from this community. We all learned here. This is our, this. That's right. Even though we would never do this if we were living like in Flappish.
It's like the other this one. We worked. We followed like sheep.
Now, I can tell you one thing. If they would start the shul today, they wouldn't do that. Today, they would have been svard, and they wouldn't say Yotzros. Because Lakewood today has become out of control. It's out of control. There's no central authority anymore. 15 years ago, there was still a sensitivity, but not anymore. At least, that's not what I see. Not that I really even know. I shouldn't say what I don't know. But all I'm trying to tell you over here is that this middle, we're talking about here, we love Mizmar. For some reason, when I read this mizmor, even when it's on a Monday, Thursday, when you come back to the Sefer Torah, David's Velashem Rachim Malah, you know, it haunts me, because, like I told you, it just takes me back to Chaim Berlin and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, before Ma'ariv, Mashkiach got up to say, the David mizmor, that haunting voice, painfully slow, and everyone, you know, in yeshiva, very stark.
When you say, when I said before
Marv? Yeah, it's what we said before you came. We had a whole discussion. When do you say this? The Chaim Berlin said before Marv. Chaim Berlin, we saw the different minhagim for how you say Lodav Mizmar. In the shuls, in Young Israel, where I grew up in Young Israel, you say this after Marv. After Avinu Malkeinu, after you finish Marv, fresh on a night in Yom Kippur.
They were being very nice.
What?
They were being very nice. They gave you the option to just come later when they got up to Bakhu.
I don't understand.
You don't have to
no,
be there.
No,
that you just come later.
No, everyone was there. Everyone got their seat, and everyone was there. The place was jam packed. And for some reason, I do not know why, in the yeshiva Chaim Berlin, and I'm assuming that it's not only Chaim Berlin. I told you there are many yeshivas that do this. It probably comes from Slobodka. I'm assuming that this is what they did in Slobodka. Most of the yeshivas in America today were established by students of Slobodka, and they just naturally thought that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's what they did in Slobodka. So that's what, these are all products. All these Rosh Hashivas, Rav Rudiman, Neri Yisrael, Rav Chudner from Chaim Berlin. Who else? I forgot it. There are a handful
Rav
number.
Rudiman.
What?
Rudiman.
Rav, sorry, sorry, Rav Rudiman, Neri Yisrael. Rav Leibowitz, Chav Chavetz Chaim. Okay, who else? There are a whole bunch, a whole collection of major, not all. You just said, I mean, Leibowitz, Rav Leibowitz, Leibowitz. What? No, Torah Das was not Slobodka. Torah Das was, they were not Talmid of Slobodka. Either, certainly not in the Vardik over here, they say Seish. Were Mir Yeshiva? I don't think so either. Not Mir Yeshiva. Kalmanovich? I don't think so. Okay, whatever it is. A lot of the things that they do with Chaim Berlin have nothing to do with the Negroah, zero. It's just that's what they did in Slobodka. The Alta of Slobodka. Okay, he used to be this come down Shulimot, Rabbi Kalis, Rabbi Kalis, who now lives in Lakewood, Enclave. So he was in a long time ago. He's in Florida half the time, and half the time he's in what's it called, Enclave in Lakewood, an Enclave in Lakewood. So he was a real Talmud of real Chaim Berliner, real deal. All the old time Chaim, he learned by your Rebbe, Rabbi Kalbach. We have a lot of Chaim Berliners here. We have Rav Mechol. Rav Mechol is a real Chaim Berliner. You're a Talmud of Rabbi Kalbach. Rabbi Kalbach was appointed by Rav Chutner.
The name isn't Kalbach.
Rav Kalbach was the Rosh, was the Mashkiach.
The proper pronunciation of the name is Karlibach.
Karlibach? He was the handpicked Mashkiach. Who is more chashav, the Rosh HaYeshiva or the Mashkiach? It used to be the Mashkiach. The Rosh HaYeshiva was like a plumber. part of the expression. The one that molded the hashkaf of the Talmidim was the Mashkiach. The Rosh HaYeshiva, he gave the highest Shia, like by a Rebbe. The Rebbes, they have Dayanim. The Dayanim. So the Dayanim are usually much bigger Talmidei Chacham than the Rebbes. Much bigger Talmidei Chacham. They know Kol HaTorah Kula. The Dayanim, and they have also Rosh HaYeshivas. And then they have also the certain Chassidim of Rosh HaYeshivas. But the Rebbe is the Rebbe. The Rebbe is supreme. Mm-hmm. It was like that in the yeshiva world also. There was the Mashkiach. The Mashkiach was basically the equivalent of a Rebbe. That's how it was in Slobodka. In Slobodka, the Mashkiach was equivalent to the Rebbe by the Hasidim. And then there was a Rosh HaYeshiva. And the Rosh HaYeshiva, he gave the top shear. He set the derech.
I remember in Hebron, I was in Hebron, and Haskel Sarna was the Rosh HaYeshiva. And he was the one,
so already changed there. So it wasn't the same. Okay, I take it back then. But it seems pretty clear from listening to Rakefet, Rabbi Harav, Dr. Aaron Rakefet, and from actually observing in Chaim Berlin, not observing, I should say that, but from, you know, listening to what the walls have to say, the history is that the Mashkiach was really meant to be the main person, the person who molded and shaped the minds of Talmidim as far as their Derech HaChayim. And the Rosh HaYeshiva, he gave the highest share. Okay, today it's not like that. Today, this he'd say what I'm telling you now to someone who's 15 years old, they'll look at you like you're from Mars. From Mars, the Mashkiach. Today the Mashkiach is a social worker. And the Rosh HaYeshiva is the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the way it is today. Times have changed. Times have changed. Okay, all of this is just a hakdama to what we bring out this point when Davin Mizmar, it occupies in the yeshiva world a very powerful place. Because this Mizmar is recited to begin the Yomim Noiroim with intense kavana. The most intense kavana is injected into this Mizmar, not even by the Baal Tila, but by a holy person, and where I went, it was by the Mashkiach, and it still is by the Mashkiach, very slowly. This Mizmar, obviously, it was. There's an understanding that this Mizmar expresses the theme of the day, the Malchus. Okay, now we're up to Pasuk. We start Pasuk Beis. I want to do Pasuk Beis again today. Ki hu al yamim yisodav yal milharos yichoyneneha. So we discussed the difference in the word yisodav and the word yichoyneneha. We discussed that there are seven yamim, and there are four rivers. Okay, so we read already the Mitzulis and the Rashi. And there's a very interesting concept. Now this is very a little bit esoteric, and let me remember where it is over here. I have to go look at my notes. Okay, but I'll tell you the idea outside first. And the idea basically is, we live in a world let's put science aside. Okay, let's put science aside for the moment. Let's look at perception. There's a very big difference between science and perception. Perception plays, obviously, a major, major role in Jewish thought. Okay, is the earth round? Is the earth flat? Does the sun go around the earth, or does the earth rotate around the sun? So scientifically, of course, it's the earth that rotates around the sun. Of course, the earth is round. But In a Torah hashkafa, perception counts. It makes a difference. And thus, when you look in the sky in the morning, you see the sun in the east, you see it, you see how it circuits, it goes to the north, not to the north, goes to the south, and then comes back to the north. You see how the sun goes from east to west, and it tilts towards the south. So from our perspective, it looks like the earth is the center and the sun is in motion. From our perspective, you don't really see the earth being round. You're limited, you have a very limited purview of this world. It seems the earth is flat. Okay. Now, when you go out, when you go out into the water, you go out into the river, you go out to an ocean. So everyone basically has an assumption that if you drop something, it sinks, and eventually it hits ground, which gives us the perception that underneath the bottom of the water, there's land. That is basically the whole world is on the bottom is earth, is land. It's land, but there's water. And then what's very bizarre, if you think about it, is there's another crust of land that's floating on top of the water. From our limited perspective, we look at this world basically against our perspective, not let's not focus so much on the world of reality. From our perspective, the world is a crust of land, all the way deep down, is land, earth, soil, a hard surface. On top of it is water. And then, for some strange reason, there are sections of land again, which basically are floating. They're floating, they're not really floating, we know they're not floating because, you know, there's no water necessarily underneath, unless you dig down, you find a well, a spring. So there's a sandwich. There is hard land, and then there's water, and then in certain sections, again, there's a crust of land. That crust of land, according to Chazal, doesn't belong there. That's miraculous. The world exists on a miracle. And again, this is an amachshava. This is an idea which I think either the Radak or the Malm. Give me a moment, I'll find it. I'm going to read it inside. Something like that. And what we're saying is that when Hashem made the world, it says, V'ruach elokim merachefes al pnei hamoyim. It gives you the impression the natural state of this world is there's earth on the bottom, and the whole world is just one big ball of water. That's nature. And then Hashem said, Yikavu hamayim el makom echad v'seireh hayabasha. Let's now do something miraculous and create a crust here and there so man can live on these little islands. That's not natural. That's not part of nature. That's part of l'mala miderech hateva. We're so brainwashed in believing that what we have in this world, everything is teva. But no, you know where teva came to an end? Teva came to an end. The real laws of nature, Hashem created nature. When did nature come to an end? The first pasuk. Bereshis bara Elokim, es hashamayim ve'es haaretz. And that's it. That is the laws of nature. The laws of nature. This is a totally different approach. Again, this is a machshav. This is not Shuvah Shalom Mikra. Okay, let's take a step back. Most of us believe that the laws of nature were complete on day six. After Hashem made man, or maybe you want to say on Shabbos, with the creation of 7 days, Hashem engaged in creating the laws of nature for 7 days. All the laws of science were created in the 7 days of creation. That is science. Shabbos has arrived. Hashem ayichulu hashamayim ve'aretz v'chol tzva'am v'yichal lokim ayim hashvi'i. The laws of science are now complete. You can predict, you can take out a science book and write all the laws, you're done. And then it happens every so often in this world that Kadosh Baruch Hu breaks the laws of nature, and there's Kriyas Yamsuf, and there are 10 makos, and there's makas b'chayrois, v'chulu, all these different laws, doim b'shemesh givoy, doim b'givoy, b'shemesh b'givoy, the sun stops. You go throughout history, there are different miracles, the mamir chateva. It's not necessarily correct. According to a different approach to understanding this world, the laws of nature were complete on day one. Breishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es haaretz. There's shamayim, there's aretz. That's it. And ruach Elokim was merachefes al pnei hamayim. The laws of nature demand gesundheit, that the world is a core, has a core in the center, and is surrounded by water, and there's shamayim, and there is, the aretz is a world with a core of earth surrounded by water. Vayom Elokim Yehi Or is the first miracle. Vayom Elokim Yehi Kavu Hamayim El Mokom Echad V'Sereh HaYabasha is that the water should get out of the way and allow certain land masses to appear. That's a miracle. Every single thing that happened during the 7 days of the Bria are miracles that are lemala miderech hateva, that are going against the laws of nature for man, in order to bring about a human being, in order to prepare the world and make it habitable for a human being, in order for him to achieve his role in serving Hashem. So we think that nature, science, concluded on day seven. No. So, there is science. Don't make any mistake about it. There is real science, real laws of nature and science and v'chul, but those laws of science concluded on day one. And everything that Hashem did the next 7 days broke the rules of science. So when a miracle happens today, how do you look at that? This is the Naftamina. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits the Yam, Kriyas Yamsuf, what is that? That is a miracle upon a miracle. It's like Chaviva Chaviv Adam Shenivra Vitzela. Man is precious in that he is created in God's image. Chaviva Yisera Shenoidasloi Shenivra Vitzela. When we witness today a miracle, Lamalu Derech Hateva, it's really a miracle upon a miracle. Because everything today, the whole laws of nature that we think are laws of nature are not really nature. That's not really science. That's really a deviation of the natural laws of science. And you know how you know this is true, this idea, this truth of this idea? It's because if you were to make believe you were to write Maisa Bereishis. You can make it up. You can make it whatever you want up. You can make it up. Give you like a novel, fantasy experience. There are 7 days of creation. You go and write the book. Write what Hashem created on day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven. You would have a list of items that far, far exceed the number of items mentioned in the Torah. The Torah only mentions a few things. The Torah talks about animals.
They're two broad categories.
Let's even talk about gravity. When did Hashem create the force of gravity? The fact that the mass of Earth should pull something down. I'm not a scientist, but certainly you can, when you study the Bria, you can break down the elements, the items in this world into many, many, many more categories than appear in the first seven days of creation. So Rav Machol is saying, no, it's not necessarily true because every single thing that's mentioned is so broad, it has to include everything else. If there's something that's unique that you don't think really fits into one of the categories mentioned, great, just look again, it's really included. Okay, fine, there's truth to that. But the things that are mentioned, that are not mentioned, are pure nature. That's science. There are infinite number of things that were created. The things that are listed in the 7 days of creation are things that have broken the rules of science. Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim v'es haaretz means everything. Everything that you're going to find in this world is there on day one. Everything that the Torah now begins to enumerate, starting from Vayom Elokim Yehi Or, is a miracle. It is a deviation from the laws of science, which endure ad hayom hazeh. That's not science. Those are nisim v'niflois that miraculously continue to endure. And the
that
things.
The creation of nature and science.
That's the simple, I told you, that's the simple way of looking at this world. The simple way of looking at this world is that science, it took 7 days to create the laws of nature. I'm suggesting, not based on what I'm saying, what it says over here, I think in the Malbim, is that no, the laws of science were created on day one, in one pasuk. Bereshis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es haaretz. That was the creation of science. Now, vayom Elokim yehi or, that doesn't make any sense. That is a breach in the of the laws of science. That is a miracle. That doesn't make any sense. According to the laws of science, it's a violation of the laws of science.
How is that?
That's how it is.
You have to, that's your answer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's not a scientific method, Michal. I'm not saying this. It's not my idea.
I don't subscribe to this.
The pasuk. So, okay, I hear you say. I'm not telling you to subscribe.
Why
I'm telling you an idea.
Why talk about an extra layer? Because
that's what this pasuk is saying.
It's overthinking.
That's what this pasuk is saying. Ki hu al yamin.
We have so much evidence that Hashem minimizes the use of
miracles.
Right. Only when absolutely necessary and.
Well, we have redefined what a miracle means.
Oh, okay, so you want to play that? Okay, but
okay. This is not for the faint of heart. This idea, that's what we're reading into this pasuk. Ki hu al yamim yisada v'al neharos yichoneneha. Let's look at let me find which mefarish says this. Okay, let's look. Where is it over here? Could be I forgot to mark it off. Alright, I want to spend. We're going to have to come back to this. I have to go look through this with me carefully. Alright, we're going to have to come back to this. I'm not going to let go of this. We're going to come back to this. I want to read you the words exactly where I saw this. Maybe I saw this in another sefer. We'll see. Okay, let's, for the moment now, go to Pastor Gimel. Mi yalev ha'har Hashem, mi yokum bim koim gotcho. Who can ascend the mountain of Hashem, mi yokum bim koim gotcho. Okay, it's one thing for a person to go on to get on a high. But for a person to maintain his achievements, that's a much higher madrega. There are people that are very successful. They reach exalted heights of spirituality. But in order to maintain, that's even a higher level. Let's see over here, which is in the Mitzudos Devar Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, in the Mitzudos David, on page 214, Mi ale ritzoyne loymar. Im shakulam hemul Hashem mikol makom ein kulam ruim lovei b'Hashem zehu beis hamigdash. Over here it's saying that just because not every part of the world is for everyone, just because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is according to the Mitzvah David, Hashem created this world, but not every person is permitted to enter every portion of this world. You can go to America, very good, but you're not allowed to go on the Har Habayis. You're not allowed to go into the Kodesh, into the Kodesh HaKodashim, into the Azara. Okay, there are places that you're not allowed to go in this world. Just because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has created the world, he has established the world, the earth, on the Yamim and the Neharois. But mi yalev har Hashem? Which one of you is permitted to ascend the mountain of Hashem? Only Moshe was allowed to go to Har Sinai to be mekabel the Torah. Moshe was warned multiple times to tell Klal Yisrael, do not ascend the mountain. Just because the Ha'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam, it does not mean you have free reign to go wherever you want in this world. there are places that are off limits to man. Adam was not allowed to enter Gan Eden. And there was the Lahat HaMisapeches. There was the sword. He was driven out of Gan Eden. You're no longer permitted to enter this makom. There is a sword. The Lahat HaMisapeches. It is a swiveling sword. Mitzudas, Ritzon Eloimar. Im Shekulam Himala Hashem, Mikol Makom, Ein Kulam Ru'uyim Lovo Bahar Hashem. Where is man not allowed to enter? The Zehu Beis HaMikdash. This is in Yeshayah, the beginning of Yeshayah, the Shabbos Hazoin. Who gave you permission to come into my Beis HaMikdash and trample the Beis HaMikdash? Who is deserving? That's a poetic repetition. Rashi on this pasuk, there is the Rashi, let's read the Rashi anyway. Rashi, mi yalev Hashem, afal pi shakol yoshveis tevel shaloi, ein hakol. Not everyone is worthy, kedai. Not everyone is worthy, likorev, love, ella, ela. Only the people that listed in the next psukim who are niki kapayim, who are tzadikim, who are worthy, only they may enter. Okay. Yeah. Bihar Hashem, the base.
You're already there.
Look.
You're on a higher level. Like you say, Anishamat
Tiyah Aliyah, Aliyah Tanishamah,
what do you mean
that
Anishamah is there already? So it means
Behar
Hashem, you still can be elevated.
Not everyone's like, look at the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, page 215, Lul Ibn Ezra, Mi'aleh, he learns Har Hashem, Zeh Har Hamariah, Zeh HaMizmar, Chibur David, Achar Devar Goyren, Aravna Hayivusi. Who's allowed to live there? The Ibn Ezra is coming to reinforce what we said. Well, when we started this mizmar, we read from the Radak, and the Radak told us that this mizmar was composed as a prophecy when the Oroin will enter into the Kodesh HaKodoshim. The Ibn Ezra, not that he disagrees, but he says, when was it composed? It was composed when David purchased the land where the Beis HaMikdash would be built. He purchased the land from Aravna HaYevusi for 50 shkolim, and that money came from the entire Klal Yisrael. It was a joint effort to purchase the land where the Beis HaMikdash would be built. They complement one another. You can assume that the Ibn Ezra and the Radak are complementing one another. David composed the Mizmar at the moment of the purchase, and it was a divine inspiration, it was Nevuah, that it would be recited when the Oroin would enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore it captures the entire Mikdash from beginning to end, the entire construction project, the purchase of the property, that's when it was composed, and it would be said at the last, at the Chanukah HaMikdash, when the Oroin would enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You have the whole gamut, the whole scope of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Now let's look over here at the Likutei Shas. Likutei Shas. Mi'aleh. We did the first one. Let's do Pasuk Gimel. We already did the first. Let's Pasuk Gimel. Mi'aleh b'har Hashem. This is just an interesting chazal. V'hinchem hayoyim, you are today, k'chvei ha'shamayim l'roif. Harei atem kayomim kayoyim mikan omru. From here we said, you are like the day. Sheva kitoy shel tzadikim began Eden. Zo l'mayla mizo. There are seven categories of tzaddik in Gan Eden. Rishoyna ach tzaddik. This is a very fascinating chazal. You have to really know all the psukim. What he does over here is he studies the whole Sefer Tehillim, and he shows that there are different groups of tzaddikim, and these groups of tzaddikim represent the seven different chambers in Gan Eden. Gan Eden has seven sections, and every tzaddik fits into one of these seven sections. And scattered throughout Tehillim are the titles of these chambers, which refer to different types of tzaddikim. So the first one it says over here is there are seven kiddush shel tzaddikim Gan Eden zo lemalam yizo. Rishoyna ach tzaddikim yoidu l'shmecha yeshvu yisharim esponecha. That's the first group, the tzaddikim with the yisharim. Shnia, the second group, Ashrei Tivchar v'usikorev, those who are chosen and come near, yishkoin chatzerecha, they will dwell in your courtyard. Okay, it's a whole different group. Tivchar, those who choose. Fortunate are those who choose and come near to dwell in your courtyard. Third group, shlishis ashrei yoshvei v'secha. How do you like that? Every single day when you say ashrei, three times a day, ashrei yoshvei v'secha, this is the third level. It's like going into an elevator and you press the third floor. So when you come into shul and you begin ashrei, ashrei, you're those who sit in your house. Notice the first group, go back, the first group, they were called ach tzadikim yodu l'shmecha, yeshu yisharim esponecha. They sit in front of your ponim. The second group are called those who dwell in your courtyard. The third group are those who sit in your house. So they're like the lobby. The lobby is called the ponim. The first floor is the courtyard. The third floor is the bias. What's the fourth floor? The fourth floor.
Each place closer and closer.
That's what it says. Zu lamayla mizu. That's how the major says. Zu lamayla mizu. The revius Hashem miyogur be'oholecha, your tent. The fourth floor is the tent. Chamishis miyishkoin bahar. The fifth floor is the mountain. Shishis, the sixth floor is Bahar Hashem. Let's take it back. Fifth floor is the Har Kodesh, the holy mountain. The sixth floor is the Har Hashem. And the seventh floor of Gan Eden, Shviyis Miyokum Bimkoyim Kodeshoy. Okay, that's the seventh floor. So you make an elevator, you can just put on the elevator the different floors.
Yeah.
Floor one is the Ponim. Floor number two is the courtyard. Floor number three is the bayis. Floor number four is the ohel. Floor number five is the har, is the har kodshecha. And floor number seven is the har Hashem. Seven chambers, seven different floors in Gan Eden. Zu lemaila mizu. When we say ashrei, you're pressing the elevator button to go to number three. Mincha will now be level three. Like you go to a hotel and they tell you where is Mincha, where is Mincha? Mincha is on the third floor, level three, in the chamber called Ashrei Yoshrei Veisecha. When you want to have something good to eat, go to the Ohel, level number four. And when you want to leave, go to level number one, to the Panim. And the pool is on level number seven, the Har Hashem. There's seven different chambers in Gan Eden. Now this pasuk is which level then? Mi yaleh v'har Hashem, that's number seven. Umi yakum b'mkoyim kodshoy, okay, it doesn't say what is that in that makoyim, it said there's Har Kodshoy. It doesn't say that's six. Har Kodshoy is number six. That's not part of the list. This pasuk.
Seven is
the Har Hashem. Go back to the very bottom. Mi yishkoin b'har kodshoy. That's chamishes. Chamishes is mi yishkoin b'har kodshecha. Shishes mi ale b'har Hashem. Sorry, right. My name is the Har Hashem. Shviyis. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Umi yokom b'mkoyim kodshoy. B'mkoyim is right. So this is six and seven. I'm sorry. So this is six and seven. So these two chambers mentioned here in this pasuk is teaching us about chamber floor level number six and floor number seven. Floor number six is the Har Hashem, and number seven is floor number seven, Har Kodshoy. Okay, so this to me, I don't know about you, this is very, very fascinating.
Seven is
Mekom Kodshoy. Mekom Kodshoy, right.
Five is Har
Kodshoy. Five is the Har. And six is, five is the Har Kodshoy. Six is the Har Hashem. And seven is Bimkoyim Kodshoy. So here in this pasuk, Mi Yaleh V'Har Hashem, that's six. Umi yakum bimkoyim kodshoy is seven. So here, this pasuk is a revelation of two different chambers of Gan Eden. Okay, now let's look at the last medrash in the very bottom. Ahora atayv azeh v'halavonon. Hakol koryo sehar, David koryo har, shnemar mi alev ahar Hashem. And this goes back about that, all the different names, the different names of the Beis HaMikdash, we know this, that it's called Avraham called it a har, Yitzhak called it a chotzer, and Yaakov called it a bayis. But in this medrash, David also called it a har. Okay, that's, there are different dimensions, different dimensions.
Also,
there's some overlap.
In the medrash, answer the question, me, those people refer
to in this pasuk and the next, according to Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu,
identify them
with
those followers.
Now, here is the look. I owe this to you from yesterday. I forgot to mention this. I told you yesterday the contradiction. There is a contradiction as to who owns this world. One pasuk says LaHashem ha'aretz u'maloyo. On the other hand, it says Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem, but the Haaretz Nasan Livnei Adam. Contrary, we discussed this at length yesterday. So I told you the two answers. One is Bukan Koydim Rokan Liach Bracha, and the other answer is Hashem decided to break the rules. And I did not show you chapter and verse where it says it. Here it is. It's on the Malbim, on page 214. Page 214 is a very important Malbim. 214, the very top Beur. Be'ur Ho'inyim, Tefilos David Lehamalbum, the very, very top on the right side of the Malbum, this page 214, the Kivar, the Dibram of Kivar, Amru Chazal B'Midrashim. It's in Shemois Rabba. Mashal Lemelech Shagazar Shelo Yerdu B'nei Roimi L'Suria, V'lo Yalu B'nei Suria L'Romi. There was a law, no immigration, and no one's allowed to leave. No one's allowed to leave, no migration and no immigration. No one's allowed to leave, no one's allowed to come in. Hashamayin, Shamayin la Hashem, V'yaretz nosan b'vnei adam. No mingling, no shayaros, no caravans, no one's allowed to go in between. We have border, we have a wall. We have built a wall for billions of dollars separating the two. Absolutely no one is allowed to pass between the two. Liyamin, what happened? The days came, they happened, where the Melech decided he saw a beautiful woman in Syria. The Melech of Roimi, he wanted to marry a woman from Syria. But you're not allowed to go. You yourself, the king, made the law that no one is allowed to leave the country and no one is allowed to enter. So what did he do? Omad, he got up, executive order, he canceled the law. Omad ubitilas agzera. That's the answer to the question, to the contradiction. Koch, similarly, Tzachiluk Sivit says, Hashamayim, Shamayim LaHashem Yeres HaSan Levnei Adam, Uchashabol Litein Torah LeAmo Yisrael. Hashem saw the nation Klal Yisrael, wanted to give them the Torah, but Hashem is not allowed to come down to this world. Hashem made a law. He's not allowed to come down to this world. So what did he do? Omar, I'm changing the laws. Omar Higada, Omar Mikan Ve'elich, Ya'alu Tachtoinim El Ho Elyoinim, Ve'yerdu Ho Elyoinim El HaTachtoinim. I change rules, Hashem Ho'oretz Umiloya. It's all the same. Everything is going to be intermingled. Va'ani Eret Chilo Shememar, Va'yered Hashem El Har Sinai, Ve'el Moshe Omar Alei El Hashem Ascend. Intermingling, La Hashem Aretz Mloa, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu fell in love with Klal Yisrael, and therefore he wanted to come down, he wanted them to come up, so he canceled, he scrapped the laws. Ritzayna Loimar, Shagam Shachayim Mikavonas HaElokhi Shayichibu Le'elyonim Metachtoinim. Even though I was going through history, he's saying, originally I wanted there should be intermingling. Lo Yiskayim Zeh, but because of what happened at the time of the Mabul, because of all of the Chato'im in the beginning of creation, Hashem said, you know what, it's not a good idea that we should intermingle. Let Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Min Uraf. I don't want these troublemakers to make trouble for me. We're going to make separation. Uchi'ilu Hoye Gzeira Al Yidei Kach Shashamayim Shamayim Lahashem, the earth is the son of Nei Adam. Ad until Shaboru Hashalemim, Ha'ovitz, Ad Moshe, Ish Hoelokim, Shishilu La'alois Bahar Hashem until HaKadosh Baruch Hu came in contact with 26 generations later, came along Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and his descendants, Klal Yisrael from Moshe, and Hashem said, for these people it's kedai, it's worthy, that we should once again mingle. I should come down and they should come up. Vayered Hashem el Har Sinai, Yalidea Torah, Timsu, Nimsu, Dor, Dorshov, Dorsholem, Ruim, Eloinian, Agon Lazem. Vayalu el Hashem Moshe, Vyarim, Nizikne, Yishol, Vyachazen, Nizdachachu, Koloam. Everyone, the Jewish people, became pure. Elamalus, Hashlem, Ashlemus, Meoz, Yorad, Hashem, Lishkon, Kavod, Besoycham, Vermishkon, Vizach, Kachaba, Mikosh. Vizel Shama, Lashem, Rizmolok, who Klal, Kadu, Aritz, Vigamtim, Yoshevo, who Hil, Kam Yisha, Beforish, Negidma, Shama, Lashem, Rizmolok. Okay, so that is the Medrash that I owe you from yesterday. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk reads, the next pasuk says, Niki Chapayim. This is very heavy stuff here. This is an amazing Mincha Shai. Okay, the Mincha Shai normally, the Mincha Shai is into Tiktuk. He's into the preservation of the Mesorah. Okay, to preserve the Nikud, the exact spelling of the word. And here he presents us three different varieties of how to spell and pronounce the word Nafshoi. Niki Chamu, who is worthy to enter into chambers 6 and 7? Only those Niki Chapayim, those of clean hands. Now you have to remember, David is writing this. When did David compose this? When David purchased the land from Aram, he's planning to build a Beis HaMikdash. David was scouting the location to fulfill what it says, L'shichnoi sidrishu uvasa shama. He's seeking the makom, he's seeking, searching for the location where that would be appropriate for Hashem to rest, to permanently rest his divine presence. He found it. He found it, al pi ruach hakodesh, together with Nasan Hanavi. He purchased the land from Aravna Hayavusi. Now, what does David want to do immediately? To proceed to lay the foundation. To excavate, go down to bedrock, and lay the foundation. What happens? Hashem says, stop. Stop order. Not like a stop order in New York City, where you get a stop order, and you keep on building. In New York City, the state, the government comes down, gives you a stop order, and what happens in this corrupt society? You make a calculation. If I violate the stop order, how much will they fine me? $10,000. That's the cost of doing business. So we'll ignore the stop order. You keep on building. So another expense, another $10,000. That's what goes on. That's what goes on in New York City. Then when you get the second stop order, it's $20,000. All right, we can afford that. When they get to the point where they put you in jail, Then we decide, okay, we'll work on solving the problem. But by the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he issues a stop order, you stop. V'zehu, it's over. You stop. Why did David have to stop after he purchased the land? It's because Hashem said to David, David, your hands are full of blood. You have executed many Pelishtim, many evildoers in this world. And these evil people in this world, they're my creatures. Ma'aseh yadai tovu v'yam. And that is an ikuv in you building the Beis HaMikdash. That is a tremendous chiddush. The people that David eliminated were evil people. Were extremely evil people. And yet Hashem says, even though you are 100% right, you are within your rights to do so, and it is the divine will that you do so, it is still an equal in you being the one to build the Beis HaMikdash, which is a place of life. The Mizbeach may not be constructed with iron. Okay, you're not allowed to lift Leisonif Alehem Barzel. Barzel is an implement that is meant to be Mekatzer Yamav Vishonav Shel Adam, man's life, and the Mizbeach is the makom which brings atonement, which gives life to man. It is not proper to lift up upon the Mizbeach a tool that joins man's life. A human being who took away life is not permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash. You have this principle by Kohanim. If a Kohen caused someone to die, okay, Rachmana Litzlam, it's a very big Shaila. Oh, I think the halachas are not allowed to duchen. They're not allowed to duchen if they killed someone. Okay, let's say it was an accident.
Yeah, even an accident.
Yeah, but we can really be Malamed Zechus for David. He fought the enemies of the Yidden and wanted to kill Yidden. So he killed him. He really didn't do anything bad. He didn't do it intentionally.
What did Hashem say? Hashem says, you may not build Niki Chapayim. Only someone with clean hands. This pasuk is one of the sources that David was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. Here, it's very this pasuk that we appreciate why this pasuk, that these words appear in this specific mizmar, because the Ibn Ezra just told us, and the Radak told us as well, is this mizmar was composed at the moment when David purchased the land to build the Beis HaMikdash from Aravna HaYavusi. And David composed the mizmah that would be recited on the day where of the Chanukah HaMikdash, at the moment when the Aron would enter into the Kodesh HaKodashim. So David was right away planning to make this all come to fruition. And immediately Hashem appeared to him with Ruach HaKodesh and said to him, Niki Chapayim. Only one who is a Niki Chapayim can stand in this makom, can ascend this makom. Mi'alev HaHashem, mi'akom imkoyim kodesho. A Niki Chapayim. David, are you a Niki Chapayim? No. You killed, you murdered, you killed many people, rightfully so. But still, that's not the way. You can't have it all. We live in a world in America where people really believe in their heart they can have everything. They can be the biggest Rosh HaYeshiva, the biggest Talmud Chacham ever, and be the richest man who ever lived as well. That's really what people think. It's just a matter of having, you know, of having mazel and doing it the right way. People really believe that they can have it all. That is a tremendous gift. That's America. America has given man that ambition, that belief, that it's possible to have it all. But Chazal, over and over again, tell a person, you really can't. You're living in a world of fantasy. Everything in life is a trade-off. If you want to be the richest man in the world, you're not going to be the biggest Talmud Chacham. And if you're going to be the biggest Talmud Chacham, you're going to be a very poor person. You cannot have it all. It doesn't work. That's not the way the world is set up. You'll tell me Torah or Gedula b'makom echad. That's not. Usually, it's not even true. It's just a figure of speech. The average person cannot have everything. You have to make a decision in life. What is your priority? David. Who is greater than David HaMelech? Who is greater than David HaMelech? He was the greatest man in Klal Yisrael. Yet Hashem said, "I'm sorry, you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. This is out of your reach, because you are a general. You led your people in war. You killed many people, and you did what you had to do. You were required to kill. It was Hashem's will that you kill these wicked people. But you have to understand there are consequences. Killing another human being, taking away his life, it's equivalent to lo sonif aleihem barzel. Life is all about trade-offs. Niki chapayim. Are you a Niki Chapayim? No, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Finished. What about Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu also did not build the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. Who built the Mishkan? Bezalel. Did Moshe actually construct Moshe? He took it apart, he assembled, disassembled. No. But you know, that's not called build. He didn't actually fashion the Kalim. Why didn't Moshe fashion the Kalim? Moshe killed the Mitzri. Moshe killed the Mitzri. He saw the Mitzri, and he said to them, "Vayar ki einish," and with the shema, hamefayrash, vayetze Moshe b'siblois, vayar ish Mitzri, maki ish ivri me'achav, and he said to him, "Lom," and he said, "Vayar ki einish." I've got the pesukim in Balpeh. Vayar ki einish, and he vayaches hamitzri. Moshe also took the life of another human being. Did Moshe build the Mishkan? Why did Moshe have to recruit Bezalel to make the Kalim? Why did Moshe make the Kalim? Because Moshe also took the life of another human being. And going forward, I mean, this was already after there was a Mishkan, you have the Bais of Korach. Moshe was mispalled all these wicked people, the 250 people who rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel in Yivra Hashem. The earth should open up its mouth and swallow these wicked people. Moshe was also instrumental in bringing about the elimination of these wicked people. And there are consequences. The Malachi Hashares do not sing Shira. Mase Yodai Toivim Bayam V'Atem Oimim Shira. The mission that Hashem said Mase Yodai were Hitler's. Make no mistake about it. The Egyptians that were chasing after the Jewish people, each one of them was a Hitler in their own right. There couldn't be a greater joy to eliminate these wicked people. You're going to say over here, my hands took the life of Hitler, so I can't build a Beis HaMikdash. It's very hard to digest this. It's very hard to digest that a person who kills Hitler has the zuchus to kill him, to murder him, to torture him, for the pain, what he has done to Klal Yisrael, cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. How could it be? Ma'ase Yodai Tavu Bayav Yatem Oimim Shira? It's a David Hashem says your hands are full of blood. Whose blood? The blood of Goyim.
It doesn't matter. It seems as a place of peace. Can't be
Lesanif Aleihem Barza.
Which is
it's a hard thing to digest.
Which symbolizes war.
After everything is said and done, the evil is evil. When you see evil,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
You become a different person.
It's not fitting to the greater theme of the Beis HaMikdash.
Our generation in America, they're blessed that they don't really. I don't think any the average person doesn't really. Appreciate what evil is. People who lived through the Holocaust, people who lived in the Holocaust, they saw what evil is. And in America, there's plenty of evil. There are plenty of victims, don't get me wrong. Plenty of victims out there who know what evil is. But there are 320 million Americans living in this country, and I think it's a fair thing to say that the vast majority of them really don't know, did not have an experience to really dwell upon them evil. Rishayim, who are just wicked, l'shem, for the purpose of being wicked. It's very frightening when so often you come in contact with such evil. It shakes you to the core.
People
who
fled Iran,
who
fled the Soviet Union.
Right, but those people, they're different people.
Cuba.
But Baruch Hashem, most people in our generation, hey, you know, you go, you can watch a movie, you can see this and see that, a documentary, but to experience firsthand, to be shaken to the core by coming in contact with people who just want to hurt you with a ruach of rishos, it's a frightening thing. It's a frightening thing, and until a person really sees what evil is, you don't even believe it. You don't even believe it. David, who did David eliminate? He didn't eliminate tzaddikim. He eliminated the real deal, the real rishon. And yet Hashem says he's not allowed to build the base in the kichapayim. Uvar levav, a person with a pure heart. Dvar means pure. Asher loyno saw lashav naf. Now how do you read this? In our edition. The art scroll edition of the Mikros Gedolos on Tehillim, the way it is presented, he did not lift up in vain his naf shi. Loi nasa lashav naf shi. That's the way it is pronounced, that is the way it is presented. V'loi nishpal l'mimo, did not swear in this seed. Now naf shi means my neshama. What's the ksiv? How is it spelled in a Tehillim? For real, it's spelled nafsho with a vav. His neshama. Who is his neshama? It refers to Hashem, Pashtus. But we don't want to say that. We don't want to go say that a person who swore falsely, he swore falsely by Hashem's name. Ashua Sheker. Ashua Sheker. We don't want to even say that. It's such an ugly term to say that a person, he swore by Hashem's name falsely. So in order to preserve the honor of Hashem, we deliberately mispronounce the word from nafshoi, which literally means Hashem's neshama, and in honor of Hashem, not to be disrespectful, we say He did not swear by his neshama. Lashav nafshi. It's a kriyach sif. The way this pronounced is nafshi. The way that it is spelled is nafshoi. That's at least what it says over here in the text on the top of the page. V'lo nishval l'mima, did not swear deceitfully. Okay, let's see the mitzvah. Now, the truth is, I'll just to make it in a nutshell, we're going to have to stop now to the mitzvahs and the Rashi, but in a nutshell, there are really three different versions. Either it's v'lo nosa lashav nafsho, pronounce it the way it is spelled, or the way it's really spelled is nafshi, or the way we do it is it's spelled nafshoi and the pronunciation is nafshi. Each one of these, the Mincha Shai says, is legitimate. The Mincha Shai says that if you study all the manuscripts, you study all the different sources, there are three different versions. And there's a world of a difference as to understand the depth of each one of the three versions of this of this word. Let's just see now for the moment mitzvahs and Rashi, then we'll stop. Mitzvahs pasuk dalid. The mitzvahs here on the page pasuk says loy nasa. Nekicha pasuk dalid. The loy nekicha payim uchilu meshiv zehu haroi. Mishak apav nekiyim b'mamon. A person who's here. Now he learned. I told you the Jewish David kill people. Here over here he's saying alder pshat, integrity, honesty. This week's parsha. Loi se'oinenu, do not cheat another person in yoni mominus. Mi shekapov nikiyim bimamoin she'enoi shel yosher. If someone's hands are dirty, he has in his possession money that's not his. The liboy and his heart is borur is clear biyira sashem. Loi mi pachad adam, he's not afraid of men. He does what is correct. A person is fearless in Hashem biyira sashem. Asher loi nosa ad. So notice that the mitzvah is David, his version is Hashem. When it says the word nafshi, it really refers to the Hashem's neshama. What does that mean? Does Hashem doesn't have a neshama? What does that mean? It means Hashem. It's a way of describing Hashem. And we just, as an expression of kavod, we say our neshama. He has not sworn by Hashem Lashav Ulramois and to deceive. Shahudovar Hamasul Lalay, the Ain Miyakir Boy Imkain, Mona Mizemi Pachar Hamakam, he's afraid of Hashem. Look in the Mitsuda Sion. Vuloy no saw, Vulo Nishva Kimo lo si son nafshi, shame Hashem. Kimo Nishva Hashem Tsivakois bin nafshoi. The word nafshoi refers to Hashem. It seems that the Mitsuda David is following what we have in our text. It's a Krivatsif. He's saying nafshi my neshama in the place of Hashem. Let's see Rashi. Rashi lo nasa. Rashi nikicha paim, the top of the page, lo nasa lashav nafshi. Lo nishva bishmi uve nafshi lashav. He did not swear by my name, uve nafshi lashav. Now who is the speaker? The speaker over here is Hashem. The speaker is Hashem, Nikicha Pamuvar Leiva Vasholo Noso Lashov Nafshi. So Hashem is speaking. Hashem is saying that this individual, he did not swear by my name false. Hashem is a speaker. Not David. It's always a question. Mi Omar Almi. Mi Omar Almi. The David Mizun, this Mizmor Sas, David Mizmor Hashem Mizmolo, Tel Vishra, Yuhu Al Yamim Yisagar. According to the similar understanding over here, the speaker is David. And David says, and now when it says, you would assume it's David is speaking. David says, someone who's lashav nafshoi v'lo nishval l'mirma. According to the Rashi says that the speaker is Hashem. Hashem is speaking. David is shifting. Hashem is saying to David. David asks a question. This is like the Haggadah. I have a question, you have an answer. David's asking a question. Hashem, I have a question to ask you, Hashem. My question is, I'll tell you the answer. David, the answer is, you know who's allowed to? Rashi is telling us a very important point. is that the previous pasuk is according to Rashi, it's a real question, and this pasuk is a real answer. There's a dialogue between David and Hashem. According to the Mitzudas and many of the Mefarshim, the question was a rhetorical question. David is answering himself. David is asking a rhetorical question. Mi alev Hashem biyakum b'yom kodesho. The answer, I'll give you the answer myself. The answer is nekichat pavuvar leivav asher lo inosom lashav nafshi. According to the Mitzudas David and many of the commentators, it's a rhetorical question being posed by David. And then David gives you the answer. According to Rashi, it's not a rhetorical question. It's a real question. David says to Hashem, who is allowed to ascend this mountain? Who's who can yokum bimkom kashoy? So, you have a question, I'll have an answer. The answer is, nikicha pai buvar leivav asher lo inosom lashav nafshi. You don't need to make it into a, there's no kri mechsev. This is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say whatever he wants. You know, if you insult somebody, if you say about someone the slightest little insult, an implied insult, they'll go mashugah. They'll go, World War III will break out. About the average person, if it gets back to them, rechilus, gets back that you said about someone the slightest little insult, they'll go mashugah. Yet a person can get up in front of the whole world, you get up on television in front of the millions of people that can say about his own self, he makes a joke about himself and says the most insulting thing about himself. Tell you how about his IQ, how his bad midos, to say how fat and ugly he is. Nothing is wrong. You can say about yourself whatever you want. But if someone says something nasty about you, even a mashu, you go out of your mind. He said it about me? How dare he say that about me? I can say about myself whatever I want. But you can't say about me even the smallest little slight thing. Here, we have a dilemma. Can you say the word nafshi? Nafshoi? According to the Mitzudas David, the speaker is David. David is asking a rhetorical question. David answers on questions. So therefore, he does not v'loinoso lashav nafshoi. That's what we really should say when David himself gives the answer. But because David is not respectful, to say about Hashem nafshoi, so we change it to nafshi. But according to Rashi, this is not a rhetorical question, this is a real question. David asks a question, Hashem gives the answer. So when Hashem gives the answer, Hashem says, the answer to your question is, only people that are tzaddikim, who have not taken an oath in vain, v'loi nosa lashav nafshi. Fundamental difference in the pshat and the pasuk. V'loi nishba b'shmo v'nafshi lashav, v'loi nishba b'shmo v'nafshi lashav. Okay, that's in the brackets over here. See that we see in the brackets, loy noso lashav na, the different girsa. You see the brackets?
Where?
The brackets in this Rashi. Nusuch acher, loy noso lashav nafsho. All of a sudden we shift from nafshi to nafsho. Kemi b'miksas sefadim, and then it means David is the speaker, and it's an answer to his own rhetorical question. Loy nishba b'shmo v'nafsho lashav. Matzin loshem shuvu neifel al nefesh, shenemar, Nishba Hashem Tzivakas bin Nafsho, Hashem swears in his own neshama. Okay, so therefore, that's already, we already touched upon some of the issues. To lift up, it's an expression. When a person takes a shavua, he holds in his hand something. He picks up an object of Kodesh. Avraham, when he told Eliezer to take a shavua, he told him to take hold of the bris milah. You lift up something. When a person takes an oath, you lift up an object of holiness. And here, what is the object of holiness? Hashem's name. Hashem's or Hashem's neshama. Which obviously you can't say such an expression. That's all part of the dilemma. Okay, now we